possibly the coolest motorsports car that was announced within the last, don't know, long time.
Since the Hunicorn or whatever.
Yes.
Since that was like the coolest
one
since.
Yeah. And I think in the words of Brian Scotta too, like they were, I forget how he phrased it. Like they wanted to make the, like the hill climb Porsche, like the coolest thing that they could and the most effective. Like they wanted to go after the same level of like memorability and everything that the Hunicorn had with whatever the Porsche version of that would be.
Right.
And so hence comes the Hunipegasus. Which is so cool. So it's neat too because they keep, I feel like they're really good at this. Like they not only made this crazy cool Pikes Peak focused hill climb 911, but they did it in a way that pays like respects to the old, like the Pink Pig livery that used to be, but they worked with a new artist again to do this whole thing, Gucci Ghost. And they, so they create this ridiculously cool vehicle, which we've got a picture in here of. I'm sure you guys have seen it in the community.
It looks insane.
Welcome back to Third Pedal Podcast. I'm Jacob.
I'm Zach.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome back.
Okay.
We're still in the Porsche.
Still in the Porsche.
We haven't moved for a whole week.
We've been here for a week. It's
we're living this
been
now.
Getting rough.
Yeah, that's why we have the same clothes on.
Yep, same clothes. Getting migraines. It's awesome. It's too hot in here. It's like that first, remember the first time we did a virtual episode and we were in the garage and then we did the whole thing like that?
It was the end of August, I think, right?
We were both
or
dying
middle
in
August
garage.
Or something. Yeah. We're just like sweating like crazy. Yes.
You could also be in your garage, sweaty, warm, and be running out of battery on most of the devices that are absolutely necessary for what we're doing right now.
Yes. I think my camera quality wasn't good enough, though, so it didn't really show
didn't?
It too well.
No, that was not the one your camera cut
GoPro.
Out. Yeah,
the that camera cut out. Yeah,
but that actually happened on two episodes ago, too. I don't know if I told you that yet.
Yeah, mine died early.
Yeah, that's right. So that one also has the check engine light that pops up.
Oh, nice.
But anyway, okay, so I have a story to tell you.
Okay.
Of something I'm working on right now, which I'm pumped about, and then we'll hop into the content for this week. So we talked a few weeks ago with Tyler, too, about the that guy, I forget what he's flipping a fish hook to a lake property or whatever.
Yep.
So I'm trying my hand at that.
Nice.
So I currently have a 83 Honda Goldwing sitting next to me in the garage that essentially I got for $100.
That's crazy.
So how that happened.
We'll show him.
Yeah.
Bing, bing.
It might be for sale if anybody's interested.
Yeah.
Actually, forget that because you're hearing the dirty truth behind it. So you'll be like, I'm going to pay $102.
Like, I do not want that.
So I was browsing Marketplace, as I'm sure we all do.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw I'm always looking for like weird little stuff or whatever. And I saw a Traeger grill for free. And it was like, it said free. And you know, with Marketplace, sometimes you click and they're like asking $6,000.
Right, yeah.
And so I'll
put free to get people to look at
it. Yeah. So I clicked in and they're like, it's by the curb. They're like, my husband's not handy. And stopped working. It keeps tripping circuits in our house. So we're done with it. We're just going to get something else. So I drove to pick it up. Super rich area, which explains why they're getting rid of a free Traeger.
Yeah, those are not cheap grills.
No. This one was like $650 when it was new. So I went, picked it up, brought it home, troubleshot it and everything. Turned out to be the hot rod. It was a $20 part. Replaced it. Worked perfect. So I used it twice.
Awesome.
And then quickly realized I'm just not the smoking meats type person. Yeah. I don't need another hobby.
Well, you told me you did pork chops or whatever, right?
Yeah.
You like cooked them and you open it. You're like, these are still raw.
Yeah. I'm like, this doesn't sear. And I'm like looking at it. It's like, no, you got to sear it on something else. I'm like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to start three
step.
Grills for dinner. Yeah. No. Well, and then I started looking too. I was like, okay, this could be fun for like a family party thing. Like do a brisket or something. I looked up brisket, like $100. It's like, okay, never mind.
Yeah.
So anyway. So then I was like,
you're like, this is quickly becoming a very expensive hobby.
Yeah.
And I have too many of those.
Yeah, I was like, we're done. Yeah, it's in my garage next to my project car and whatever. So I started thinking and I was like, my wife and I wanted a camper for a while. And so I was like, okay, how cool would it be? I got this thing for free. What if I could flip this thing up and then just keep flipping it and see? This guy inspired me, the guy we went through. So I was like, I wonder if I could do that. So I started messaging everybody. Like I looked for like wheels for the WRX. And motorcycles and all this random stuff, trying to figure out like what could be the incremental trade up tools, everything. So I got this guy with a Goldwing who he said he was interested. He's got too many projects, and his wife basically told him like, "Hey, if you give me the grill and like a couple $100, then like she said I can't pass it up." So I reached out to him, so we talked a little bit. We did. So we went there, checked it out, gave him whatever it was $150 and the Traeger that I got for free. And he gave me his Goldwing, clean title, beautiful condition.
Sick.
It's having an idle issue right now that I'm trying to fix. But so now the plan is like, okay, now I've got all the, you know, it's like the meme of like all the numbers and everything crunching. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go from my goal is from motorcycle to some sort of car or a truck, one of the two. And then trade from that to the opposite. So if I get a truck, trade for a car, vice versa. And then keep going from there. So the goal is to get to like approximately 10-ish grand of camper for free. Or I guess now I'm $150 in, so I got to figure out how
to
get that back.
You're going to have to figure out one of your trades to get an additional $150 on top of it.
Yep. That's the goal.
To make it back down to zero.
Yeah, I'm wondering. I wonder what it, I mean, that could even be something simple, right? If I trade for a car or a truck that has a light bar or something on it, or some weird accessory,
sell something
on the back. Maybe that's what I should do. I should get a truck with a toolbox.
Yep.
And sell the tool. Okay, there we go.
Off,
But
get back down to zero.
But yeah, so that's the goal. So now I've got a motorcycle that I never intended to own sitting next to us in the garage. Looks beautiful though. But yeah, so if anybody's looking for Honda Goldwing, wants to help me out, go for it. Yeah, so much chrome. Every piece of chrome.
It's a nice
looks
looking
like
bike.
A semi from the back.
It does
kind of
like
does.
A semi a little
it's got
bit.
All the lights and everything.
It's a nice looking bike though.
It is a good looking bike.
Like they put 80 something, right?
83. Yep.
83. They put so much chrome on stuff and like
so
many lights
and
like
so
all
many
this
cool
extra
badges
stuff.
Too. The little Goldwing badge, and it's got the saddlebags and then the detachable trunk thing. And
there's
no
question
really
what
cool.
it is. It says it on it a million times.
A million times. Yeah. If you try to strip the thing down, you'd still know. But it's kind of cool. It's a little flat four. So it's a little boxer engine.
Yeah.
So it's arguably more Porsche than the Porsche that we're sitting in right now.
Cause it's got the boxer.
Yeah. It's mid-engined. But anyway, so yeah, that's the thing that I'm working on now, which is kind of fun,
awesome.
But
that'll be cool. We'll have to keep track of that.
Yeah. I'll keep you posted. Hopefully
do like update. Maybe we do updates on TikTok and stuff
as
trades
cool.
happen. Cause trades
cool.
will probably happen. More
I started
often.
Taking a video thing where I was like, I started with this and it was nothing. And I was like, and then I went to this and then I had the grill and I was like, and then I went to, and then I got to get one of this now. So I'm going to hopefully keep going from there. But yeah, so we'll see. I've always kind of been curious about intentionally flipping stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
sometimes
we'll
see
it just kind of happens by accident.
Yep.
But that's cool to like
go
intentionally like, all right, this is what I'm starting with and I'm going to get to like have the goal of the camper and stuff.
Yeah. It's helpful to like, I mean, even just to justify for myself, like if I'm going to actually like work on this thing and try to wrench on it a little bit.
Right.
It's like, I can look at, okay, well he bought it for this. So technically I'm like that much in profit right now. So let's see if I can just keep growing that a little bit, but it's all too, like if you're not, it would be harder if I just did this, sell it, buy something.
Yeah.
Cause it's all dollars then. Now it's just perceived value of like what people want. So if I can appeal to what somebody wants, it doesn't matter what they were
someone
selling
really
it for.
Wants a bike,
right?
A Goldwing.
Right.
And they've got this truck that they've been driving. They don't want anymore. Or this car or whatever. Like,
right.
It makes more sense for them to do the trade.
Right. It's easier for to just do that than it is to sell it and go through that and then buy something. So that's the goal anyway. That's what I'm hoping for. So if you're interested in selling or in purchasing a Goldwing, forget everything I just said. Mint condition. It's been sitting in a garage. No, it is really nice though. So we'll see. Hopefully I got to ride it at least once.
Yeah.
And
then got to go around the block.
Get
a few
it traded.
Times.
But hopefully I don't have it long, because that's the goal is to not. I tend to do that anyway of like, this is kind of cool, I guess. Like I've already found a group of people that convert these to cafe racer style. If I ever had a bike, it was going to be that.
You've already gone the distance of like, what could I do
with
this
thing?
So I'm
like, they can do what? And then I like close the window. I was like, no. Like we have a purpose here.
Like, no, camper.
Right.
We're not racing this bike.
Right. Well, I found one dude who had a camper that was kind of in my price range. I'm like, how nuts would it be if after three trades I was already there?
Yeah.
To like message it. He wasn't looking for a bike though. Yeah. So I was like, you don't know that you're looking for a bike.
Like, you gotta come drive this thing.
Yeah.
You're banned on a Goldwing.
Well, and that's everybody too. Like, I'm gonna, before I sell it, it'll have new oil and filter and coolant and brake fluid and all that stuff. Like, I'm gonna do the full maintenance on it, because then I'll feel good about selling it. But now, putting feelers out there, I'm already saying that, like, got a bunch of maintenance and it's got this and that.
Yeah,
because it
stuff
will
you're
be
gonna
there.
Do.
Yeah. But then I've had a couple of people like, yeah, I can come sometime this week. I was
like, give me like a week to do all the stuff I said I did.
Yeah. I'm like, hold on. I was just trying to figure out if anybody's actually interested in this thing first. Yeah. But yeah, funny. That's the current project right now. So I have a motorcycle for a couple weeks. But anyway, something that was funny.
We'll get some hot shots up of that too on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Maybe our network will figure something out there. I know you even messaged and you were like, you should check with that dude who's getting rid of the thing. I'm like, this is a step backwards for him.
Yeah. It's probably not going to want to trade it. He just got rid of those two bikes.
He did. Good.
I think that's how he got the Beamer.
One of them was for the Beamer. Yeah, I think the Harley was, or the other bike was for the Beamer, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hope that guy's doing good too. We'll have to check in with him. But
yeah.
Anyway, so you had a car commercial thing to talk about.
So I just found out how car commercials are made, and I don't know if
everybody
knows this. Like,
okay, I do just because I'm in like that business.
That's true.
But
you're in marketing
stuff.
But
I don't think people all are aware, because everyone else sees like the commercials happening and it says performed by a professional on a closed course or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was, which is true. Not in the way that you think it might be.
Right. Like you watch the whatever commercial and you see the car in the commercial and you're like, I just assume that's the car. The car that I'm seeing is the car that they're driving.
Right.
So I found out this is a company called, I don't know what the company's called, but the car is called Blackbird. So it's this, if you guys have ever seen like an exoskeleton car, it's basically that. It's all adjustable. And if you've ever seen like when an actor does whatever, like an animated role.
And they when they're recording suit. For video game stuff. You see it a lot.
They got like the suit on with all the like little white points on it and stuff. So that's basically that for this car. This car can get, it can get longer, it can get wider, like it can change its wheelbase. And then that's like the stunt car, basically. So they can, what they said in the article is like, instead of taking a $500,000 like McLaren and ripping it through LA streets and doing like burnouts and like hitting potholes and stuff like that, they just take this probably as equally expensive like model.
The every car.
And make it the right proportions and stuff. And then, you know, match the digital model to the points in the car and then go rip on that thing. And then they just edit that car and in post.
It's just
nuts. That was so interesting.
It's so cool. Well, and it's neat too, because how it works, like you can do it in any video editing software. If I get really, I might cut this part out, but maybe it will illustrate it. It's like if you have a point, it's like if I picked this as the point and then moved it, like something can track with it. That's all they're doing.
Just pin something to it digitally.
Because you're just telling it via the software, you literally are selecting pixels to say, hey, this is your reference point. And then it'll track that all. It's a 3D thing.
And if it's all just white points that are staying in the same spot.
And then usually like they can take footage of like outward facing from the car. They might have cameras on that to figure out what the reflections and everything should look like. And then it's just live mapping and all. But it's crazy because like you see like in all these commercials, I've seen some of them too, where like you'll see some car that I know it's the sport version of a car. I don't think it can drift the way that they're drifting it and stuff that. And so it's like interesting that they're just like, they just bring this car out. They do the run on a car that they've already tuned and are comfortable with. And then they just paste like, it, that was really an Infiniti, guys. Like for sure.
They just like wing at you. Weird. If you want to do that. Buy this car.
But yeah, I think that's super neat. It's neat to see. And it's cool to see that they do it with like car stuff too. Cause I mean, if you think about too, like even in movies when they have scenes, whatever, cars getting shot up, cars getting damaged, things like that, that can all happen. Instead of like trying to do some real damage on a car with a, like animated villain or whatever else is going on in it, could literally just be that car. And then they're just mapping a model that's getting damaged by the other thing they're editing in and do it all together.
But they'll just digital mishmash together.
It is weird though. It would be cool to see like an example of it driving, like having it driving and then show it like swap to McLaren and then swap to a van and then swap back to that thing. And it'd be cool to see footage compare. I'm sure that's out there somewhere.
How we'll digitally change it.
Just to watch that process.
That'd
be cool. But even like that video I showed you, the Lamborghini one, we'll put a link somewhere in here if you guys want to go check it out. But it was just some dude's like demo reel. But it's just like thinking about like if you've ever done anything with 3D modeling stuff before, like you have to make a shape that looks realistic. Cool. Done. Now you have to create textures. So like as far as how reflective is it? Like is it a matte finish like our mic? Is it fuzzy? Whatever. Is it a water bottle that's showing shines and everything? Okay, that's cool. Then you have to make like now you're putting something here in the middle. So now you have to make the lighting the right temperature to reflect. And now you have to think about the other things around and what's going to reflect off of it. And then make that all happen like quickly in a way that sells it. Because if any of that stuff looks wrong, immediately your brain picks it out. Yeah.
So now it moves.
Right. Now it moves.
Like, that's like, crazy.
Oh, it's drifting. Now there's smoke from the car that you have to factor into it and all this stuff. Like there's so much that goes into it. So it's cool to see. It's interesting that they've made a chassis that they can modify that way. It's also really interesting to me that they changed the wheelbase and stuff to match things too. So that they're not like,
it's got
to
be the right proportions. You can't have like a Ford, right? And then it's like this super like long wheel, like a McLaren wheelbase or like the other way around.
Yeah, it's this weird stretched looking car. But
now there are definitely some, definitely probably a lot of commercials still made with the actual cars.
Yeah.
So I know there's like literal, I think his name is Reese Milling. Does that name ring a bell?
Sounds familiar.
He does. I believe it's the right name. We'll put it in if it's not. But he does stunt driving, I think, for movies and then also for car commercials.
Okay.
I know Acura is one I'd seen him done, seen him do lately-ish.
Yeah.
Not making a whole lot of sense with the words. But
getting hot in here.
Melting the brain. But he's done some crazy drifts and stuff like that he does like with the actual production cars, which is kind of cool. I think I want to say he did one for Ford because Ford had, remember when Ford first came out with the Focus RS and it had like a drift mode and everybody was like, oh no, drift mode, like there's gonna be people in the streets like drifting all the time. Have you ever seen an RS drive? Like
no,
I've never seen one drive recklessly.
They just drive loud and slammed. That's
I've never seen them drive any other way besides regular traffic loudly.
Right. Yeah, they so seem to all funny, be really responsible, quiet people.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, it's a, what is it, a $30,000-something car?
Yeah.
Somewhere in that ballpark. Yeah. Like, most of the people buying something like that aren't typically, like, hooning it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Not yet. Once those become cheap, then there's going to be a hole.
When they're, like, third, fourth, fifth owner... Yeah, then they're gonna and they're 200,000
when they're like the 2002 ones or whatever now.
Yes,
like
the ZX3s. Yeah, when they're those.
Yeah, when our kids are old, that's gonna be bad.
Yeah,
it's gonna be the Mazda Miata.
That
or whatever
was such a nice car in my day, and they're just ripping it. It's gonna be like rusted out, spray painted and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
like the Datsun and everything. Yeah, crazy.
That's funny, but anyway, yeah. So thought that was pretty cool. But so last, I wanted to cover real quick here before we get into air conditioning.
Speaking of real cars,
Speaking of real cars, kind of a sad story, but a really cool story.
Why is it a sad story?
Because of how it ended or where it's at now.
Oh, okay, because it
landed. So
I'll let you continue.
We wanted to talk about, because we're in a Porsche, not because we would have talked about it regardless of what we're in. possibly the coolest motorsports car that was announced within the last long time. Ken
probably
Block.
Since the Hunicorn or whatever.
Yes.
Since that was like the coolest
one
since.
Yeah. And I think in the words of Brian Scotta too, like they were, I forget how he phrased it. Like they wanted to make the hill climb Porsche, like the coolest thing that they could and the most effective. Like they wanted to go after the same level of like memorability and everything that the Hunicorn had with whatever the Porsche version of that would
be.
And so hence comes the Hunipegasus. Which is
crazy
so
name.
Cool. So it's neat too, because they keep, I feel like they're really good at this. Like they not only made this crazy cool Pikes Peak focused hill climb 911, but they did it in a way that pays like respects to the old, like the Pink Pig livery that used to be, but they worked with a new artist again to do this whole thing, Gucci Ghost. And they, so they create this ridiculously cool vehicle, which we've got a picture in here of. I'm sure you guys have seen it in the community.
It looks
too.
Insane. Like,
but like, have you watched the deep dive videos on this thing? I was listening to a couple of them this week, and like some of the details, like they said however many feet, like a crazy, like I think it was like at least a football field, if not more, of just tubing that went into creating the structure for it.
Wow.
They had such a tight time frame to make it. It's all custom laid carbon fiber. The entire chassis is, except for I think the roof and the pillars are the only two things still from a 911 on it.
Wow.
The rest
that's
of
the
it's carbon fiber. Yeah.
Wow.
And they,
that's crazy.
They were under such a time crunch. They were creating the model and everything for it that they had, I think the carbon fiber was laid in Sweden, I want to say, somewhere overseas.
Mm-hmm.
But they were like building the chassis while the carbon fiber was getting laid, and they'd never tested anything. They had it all, computer models and everything.
Wow.
They shipped it over. It was all perfect fit.
That's nuts. That's something you can only do now with the tech we have today.
Yeah.
The 3D modeling and
stuff. Yeah. To have the model shared all over. So they did a ton of like aerodynamic analysis, obviously, because they wanted to create, they had a look they were going for, but it was all built to be effective. So it's built to run for the 100th anniversary of the Pikes Peak Hill Climb event.
Okay.
Which is something, it's like Ken's done it before, which is kind of cool. So like he's always wanted to like build a purpose-built car for this. He's done it in like STIs before. He's done it in a bunch of other vehicles.
Yep.
But they were building to this event. So like a couple specs on the vehicle. So it's 1400 horsepower,
which is insane.
Which is nuts. Something interesting though, it's 1400 horsepower. They were planning, because of the altitude difference of the race, 1400 at sea level. It was going to be 800 once it got to the top.
What?
Isn't that nuts?
Wow.
To lose that
the
600
air horsepower.
Yeah. Because the density and everything.
That's crazy.
So 1400 horsepower, just some specs here.
You could lose more horsepower than I've ever had.
Yeah.
Single race.
It can lose double my entire horsepower of my most powerful car up a hill.
Yeah.
So
that's insane.
And still have like three times the horsepower that I have.
Yeah.
So that's nuts.
Crazy.
So what's powering this thing? It's an engine out of a 2017 GT3 RS, I believe.
Yeah.
Twin turbo. Flat 4 liter, flat six.
Yeah. That's crazy to push that thing that high.
Yeah. 14. So it's a center engine, mid engine car.
Mm-hmm.
It has, I forget what they called it. This very
specific.
So
it's not like rear engine?
No, it's not rear engine behind the rear axle.
Oh,
it's in front of the rear axle. The thing weighs 2,200 pounds, which is nuts.
That's stupid.
So the whatever we've talked about in the past of like the pound per horsepower thing, like ranks pretty high. This is the nuttiest thing about this that I've read. It has GPS driven suspension.
What?
So yeah, uses telemetry data from previous Pikes Peak runs to adjust the suspension based on where it is on the track. So
that's insane.
It's like not, which is that's crazy.
Like, who thought of that? That's
crazy.
It's crazy.
Crazy that that is better than just reacting to what's happening on the road. It's predicting that, getting everything set up. I'm sure it's predicting it for different turns or dips and things like that happen on the road. Probably softer areas for sketchy pieces of the road and everything.
Yep.
So yeah, and it's the, this was cool, just a fun fact. This is the first mid-engine all-time all-wheel drive Porsche 911 that's ever been made.
Wow.
So that was kind of cool.
Yeah,
kind of
a
weird,
too,
weird combination there to say mid-engine, because there's other rear-engine all-wheel drive ones. But
right.
But anyway, super cool. So they've done so much technical analysis to get this car right. Huge. The front wing on it, I think it said, was responsible for about 45% of the total downforce of the car.
Wow.
It was just the front wing.
That's crazy.
Super wide-bodied. They actually ran into different issues with the aerodynamics because of how wide it is, that there's different wash from the wheels in the whole aerodynamic airflow of it and everything.
Yep.
Just crazy. But all this, right? So this has been being built. They unveiled it. They announced it. It was this cool thing. It's his livery on his new, whatever that is, the Hyundai rally car that he's doing and whatever that series is.
Yep.
They did a matching livery for that. It's got a thing across the front, which is funny. It just says, "Just don't die." Within the whole livery and everything, but it's all bright pink.
Yeah.
So they're building this thing. They get it all ready to go. They bring it out to the event, and then we all get the news that he can't run it. Like, he's out of the race. And we're just,
that's such a bummer.
Oh man. And like, for the amount of like how I feel sad about that, I can't imagine being him.
Right.
Even building this car. I mean, even being the engine builder, like how sad you must be to, like, everybody pushed for this thing to get done.
Yeah.
And then here you are. And it
now,
was kind
before
of
before the Pikes Peak run.
Yes. Yeah. So I think what it sounds like is on Thursday was the qualifying for the event. And that's when they had an engine fail. Well, I guess it ate a valve or something, and it destroyed the cylinder wall in one of the cylinders in the engine.
Ouch.
And, you know, it sucks and it happens. It's motorsports. I mean, that was Ken's thing. It's like, it's racing. Sometimes stuff breaks. Obviously, it's heartbreaking because this was supposed to be the 100th anniversary. It was this big thing that they were building to. But his attitude of it was really cool, too. And I also, like, super appreciated. I think it's easy sometimes, like, especially at our level, like, to think, you know, someone like him, he's probably got six engines sitting around ready to go to just swap one in.
Yeah.
But, like, for someone his caliber to build something like this and something happens and I guess we're not racing. It is what it is. And it kind of comes down to the time, I guess it was. They were supposed to qualify. They had an issue. They couldn't get it repaired before qualifying, so they couldn't make it. They were trying to rush.
Sometimes there's just not enough time.
Yeah, they flew somebody out. One of the top Porsche techs, I think they said in the U.S., flew out to like help and everything. And so they were trying. They just couldn't make it. It happens. He's still going to run it at a bunch of other events. It was still
That's
a
pretty
car
serious
shows.
Thing, too, to, like, it's not like, I don't know, injectors failing. Or
right.
Something. Like, to swallow a valve and then busted the cylinder.
Right.
Like, you need a new engine.
Right. And you need, like, you have to have a reliable engine for that race. So it's, you don't want to just hot swap something. And get
well, you're
to
pushing
it
hard, too.
Right. So super disappointing, but it's going to be exciting to see what they do with the car moving forward.
Yeah.
But just the specs on this thing are nuts. There's a deep dive video on the Hoonigan channel. You guys should check it out. Amazing, amazing car that they put together for that event. So,
do we have any sound of that thing?
Yeah, we'll put a clip in here. So it broke the end off of it and smashed it around.
Well, 1,400 horsepower isn't a light demand either from any engine.
Right.
Like, no matter how built an engine is, like, that's still so much power.
Right.
Like, I wonder how much PSI they're pushing out of that thing.
It's got to be insane. Nuts. It's got
to
be
to
nuts.
Not be bored out more than a four.
Right.
You know?
To right.
Be
to
the,
only be
the
a 4 liter.
Stock four,
yeah. 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 But anyway, so super, I mean, disappointing. Not disappointing in like a... I don't know. I don't want to say disappointing and make it seem like
not disappointing in that they failed.
Yeah, it's not any personal thing. It's just, it is what it is. Yeah. It's motorsports. Stuff breaks sometimes. He didn't get to run it. And it's kind of cool that he still, like, it shows that the focus was on the event. He's like, yeah, I didn't get to run it. I'm going to run the 101st now. And I guess I'll do it next year. And in the meantime, we're going to bring this out to shows. The other thing I thought was really cool is their core sponsor of this was, they called it the winningest oil brand. It's Mobil 1. They were like the key sponsor of it. They did the Pegasus symbol on the side, like the flying Pegasus thing, which I think is part of the reason why it was named the way it was. But
that makes sense.
I think it's super cool that there's companies still that are, and I know there's a lot, I don't mean to just single them out, but as for motorsports people, if you see like sponsors on race cars and stuff, make sure you like support that brand or like reach out to them or something. Like I want, seeing Mobil 1 on there makes me want, like I got to do oil in the Subaru coming up pretty soon. I'm going to do Mobil 1 and I'm going to tag them and be like, hey, like hopefully, or maybe, yeah, I will. And I'm going to make a joke, but I'm not going to make a joke because that would be mean. But like, hey, hopefully my engine doesn't end up like Ken Block's using Mobil 1 now. But
it was not because of the oil.
Yeah, no, not because of the oil at all. The oil is probably the only thing that prevented it from being more cylinders than one, honestly. But it's cool that they're like sponsoring with them and they're working with them and stuff. But, but just to remind, like sponsorship is the only way that most people can afford to do things like that. So being aware of like seeing which brands are kind of stepping it up and doing cool sponsorship stuff for cool motorsports things.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
It's cool that they
see.
Were the premier sponsor of that. Like Toyo Tires is another big one from him that like they always supply him with any tire he needs for anything. But whatever
they, like,
ways
make
you can
special
brands.
Compounds and stuff for him.
Yeah.
Like for the, because he did
they made custom Rotiform wheels for this car. Like they custom made Rotiform. I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But anyway.
Yeah, it's good to support those brands too that support the stuff that we love to see.
Right.
Because like they're going to be the ones who keep it going on a big level. Because if it can't keep going on a big level, then it can't keep going on a small level like that we're doing.
Right.
So like if they can't make the Huna Pegasus or whatever it's called.
Huna Pegasus. Yes.
Then like, and all the parts and whatever that comes from that, then like all of the trickle down, like if you have a GT3 RS, you got a pretty crazy car already.
Yep.
But like the stuff that's going to come from that down to those smaller models, like isn't going to happen if those big things can't happen.
Right.
So
yeah. Any of the, I mean, even just, you know, they're testing and stuff too. They're testing out their formulas and everything. So it's going to improve quality of whatever products get put in motorsports, things end up trickling down and being a cooler product for consumers.
Right.
So
that's a good point.
Just whatever. And especially coming from like my, like a marketing perspective too, like sponsoring a build like that, it's not always the easiest to find ROI other than it being like an awareness campaign kind of a thing.
Right.
So if there's ways that people can, you know, provide feedback, social media, tagging it, whatever it is, things like that, all kind of help a brand see like, oh, hey, motorsports is something that pays off for us. So we should keep pouring into that.
Yep.
Because that's the money, like it's very expensive to race. And so, you know, anybody that wants to get into it or has something at that level, it's impossible to do on their own. They need brand sponsors behind them that are helping them out. So letting them know like, hey, Toyo, hey, Mobil 1, like we all, like that was cool that you did that. And like, that's going to make me look at Mobil 1 longer next time I'm going to go purchase oil. Cause whatever I was going to go with before, maybe now I'm like, it's good enough for that car. It's definitely good enough for mine.
Yeah.
But yeah. So anyway, thought that car crazy cool. Definitely deserves a shout out on here. We should do another one where we go through some more videos and stuff in more detail. But if you guys look up videos of this thing, it screams, it sounds exactly like you'd hope it would sound. I love like, I, so
those engines sound crazy anyways.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So my prediction too. So, Ken's working with Audi now, obviously there's Audi stuff everywhere. He posts about it all the time. Now he's built a Porsche. So cool. He did that. So what Volkswagen do you think he's going to build? That's on the same family. So I'm hoping.
Because he was kind of like an older Volkswagen guy, like back in the 90s, right? He was like the GTIs.
I mean, he likes Subaru, so he definitely likes them.
What would be a cool Volkswagen to build?
I don't know. I mean,
the Golf R is the obvious thought.
Yeah, that would be
cool. Because
that's
already an all-wheel drive turbo. Yeah.
I like, it would be neat if he got to play around with some of the electric stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or it would be neat. I mean, I even picture him doing like either an Atlas or a Tiguan, like big off-road chunky build of a thing. That would be kind of cool.
Well, that's like on my Tiguan, I have the 1552s.
Yeah.
Those like off-road looking ones. So build like an actual cool.
That'd
you have
be
to
sweet.
Modify it a lot. Like I love the Tiguan a lot, but like it's not set up to do a whole lot besides daily driving.
Right.
It has off-road mode and stuff like that, but
I'd be
it
curious,
just tunes the transmission a little
bit. So like I feel that way about our Forester, but there's this dude on the Forester page that I'm on, and he's got like this whole like worn winch front bumper. It's all steel front bumper carved out for maximum clearance for the wheels. Mm-hmm. Got big like all-terrain tires on it, 4-inch lift, trail lights and stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
And he regularly posts about like he did nothing else with the car other than these like lifts and that no engine transmission stuff.
Sure.
And he all the time is posting like these crazy trails that he's on with like lifted Jeeps and all the lifted trucks.
And it's just keeping up.
And he's just doing all this stuff, keeping up with them. And they're all like, yeah, okay, you with your Forester. And he gets in and like does it. just follows them up and stuff. It's crazy. So maybe your Tiguan is more capable than you're aware of, but I feel the same because it's just like, ooh, dirt mode.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Hey.
The little screen's like dirt. And it's like the dirt
flying.
And the
little animation stuff is like, like, okay, cool.
It's like, but if it's set up for it, normally it doesn't do that. So it just doesn't.
It just is that. Yeah. Like my Jeep is not like dirt mode. It's just, I mean, my Jeep just probably looks with misaligned eyes like, where are we going today, guy? Yeah.
Let's climb.
Oh, pavement again? Okay, cool.
Oh, the garage again? Great.
Wonderful. It's sitting out there while it's hailing before. It's just like, ow!
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, man.
That's the end of our today. Our brains are frying. So we'll call it the end of this podcast. But anyway, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for watching, guys.
Send us in Make It or Break It stuff. Hopefully we'll hit some of those next
week. Before we go, head to thirdpedalpodcast.com.
Yes.
Cool merch.
Yes.
See where to see more of us.
Yep. Yep. And, yeah. And I mean, some of you, like, I mean, this is a good, I guess it's a good point of reminder too. Like, some of you may have found us on Apple Podcasts. Some of you may watch us on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Some of you may, whatever. We are everywhere though. So like, if you, like, I go all over the place. Sometimes I watch podcasts on YouTube. A lot of times lately it's been Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
But we got video on both. But we're on all the platforms. So if there's some way that you normally, if you're watching this on TikTok right now, you're watching a clip. Like, mm-hmm. We have a longer version of this available everywhere else.
Yeah.
But for anybody, if you regularly watch on YouTube, now you're on the road and you're like, oh, I would listen to them, but I don't want to just do whatever. No, go to Spotify, pre-download it, and just listen to the audio version. It's on there. You don't have to waste your data on it. But we're on a variety of different networks. We're on social media stuff. If you want to send us messages, a lot of people send it to us through Instagram. And we check those out all the time. It's the three of us, and like, we're hit the three of us in.
Yeah,
Tyler, fist bump.
He's just been hanging back there the whole time.
That'd be
just,
so like, funny. Seat folds up. Hey guys. So, but no, we check those messages all the time. Like, we love to dialogue with you guys. If you guys get one of the shirts, if you put a sticker on your car, whatever, send us a message about it. We want to see it. We'll repost it. We'll share it that way. But but yeah. In the meantime, we'll keep you guys posted on what happens with Goldwing. We'll go check out the video of the Huna Pegasus.
Yes.
And pay attention in the next car commercial that you watch, because it might not be the car that you think you're looking at in the commercial.
Might be getting bamboozled.
But it is closed course, but not in the way you think it is. But anyway, on that note, have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Peace.